Well, today I would like to start with a story. It's not a very biblical story, but I think it's about Easter. Okay? Three not-so-smart men died and ended up being at the pearly gates of paradise. And St. Peter was standing there, and he said, "I don't know if I could let you in." And so what they did was, "Well, what can we do?" they said. Well, he said, "If you can answer a simple question, then I could let you in." And so he says, "What is Easter?" The first man looked at him and said, "Well, Easter is that holiday in November where family gets together and we eat turkey and, you know, everybody loves each other." And Peter looks at him and says, "No." Pushes the other button. Not the open, but... So he asked the second man, he says, "Listen, what is Easter?" And the man says, "Well, Easter is that holiday in December when everybody exchanges gifts with one another, when everybody is happy and we decorate trees and we celebrate Jesus' birth." And Peter kind of looks with disgust and says, "No," and pushes the button. So the third man looks Peter right in the eye and he says, "Peter, I know exactly what Easter is. It's a holiday, it's a Christian holiday that coincides with the holiday of Jewish people called Passover. That's when Jesus and his disciples went to the upper room and where he washed their feet. And then they ate some bread and drank some wine. And then one man, one out of 12, denied Jesus and betrayed him. And then they took him and then they crucified him. And he's winning favor with Peter. Peter is looking at him with promise like, "Yes, yes, come on." And this man says, and then they killed him. And then they pierced him in his side. And then they buried him in a cave nearby and put a stone to cover the cave. So what Easter is, he says, is every year at Easter, they open up the cave, Jesus comes out, and if he sees his shadow, there will be 6 more weeks of winter. Peter pushes the button and says, "Nah." What is Easter? Easter... And I want to start this way, that 2,000 years ago, something extraordinary has happened. A man named Jesus was tortured, crucified, killed by the Jews and the Roman soldiers. What's extraordinary about this man, that 3 days later, he defeated death. He's the only one who did it. He came alive. He came back to life, never to die again. That's what's extraordinary about it today. And so today we're celebrating the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you again, He is risen. Let me say it again, He is risen. Why are you here? He is risen! Amen. Amen. Today we're beginning a series called Modern Family. How many of you know that show on TV? Okay. Kind of a little dysfunctional family, but modern, you know. Pretty cool dad up there and some other dads. And we're not going to go into all the details because they're modern, okay? And in this Modern Family series, we're going to be talking about families. We're going to be talking about man. Women, you're probably asking a question, what was the purpose for man? Why did God create man? What was the purpose? Well, next week, we're going to talk about The Simpsons. And that's where we're going to talk about man. So guys, be here. Women, you got to learn some stuff about men. Questions you've been asking, we're going to hopefully answer them, okay? From a man perspective. Then we're going to talk, week after that, we're going to talk about Desperate Housewives. Okay? And that's going to be about, you guessed it, women. Then we're going to talk about how to raise God-loving children. Okay? And so we're going to have some of that. And then we're going to talk about stories from real families out of our church. People will come up here and tell their stories of temptation and trials and how they overcame it. Okay? So it's going to be great 5 awesome weeks. All right? Now, today we're talking on a subject called No Ordinary Family. Well, every story does have a beginning, amen? And in our story, it doesn't start the way you might think. I want to start from the beginning, because Christians are no ordinary family. Okay? And the reason we're no ordinary family, because God has created in the beginning Adam and Eve because He wanted a family. Do you know that God is a family? If He was a man, we would call Him family man. God is a family guy. If you think of God and how He wants to be known in humanity, He wants to be known as a father. Guys, if you didn't want to be a father, if you don't want to be a dad, how many of you would want people to call you dad? It would freak some of us out if somebody came and said, hey, you're dad now. Like, what? I don't want to be a dad. So the reason God wants to be called a father is because He wants a family. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 says this. Let's put it on the board. God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what God wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. God is all about family. The reason He created us human beings is so He can have a big family. Now, but God, why would God want a family? Have you ever wondered about that? Was Jesus not enough? Was Holy Spirit not enough? Wasn't it enough to have billions of angels worshiping you? Of course it was enough. God is totally and completely satisfied with Jesus, with the Trinity. But the reason He wanted family, let me read this again to you. This is what God wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So it's not that God is unhappy with just being in heaven, but it brings God pleasure to have you and me be a part of His family. So the reason God created this world is so He can have a big family. Now, have you ever heard of a story, Cheaper by the Dozen? Maybe you read a book. Anybody? Cheaper by the Dozen? It's a story about a young couple who got married and decided to have 12 kids. Six boys, six girls. Some of you are asking, why would somebody want to have so many kids, so many children? Well, some people love children. My parents had seven boys. I'm the oldest of seven boys. They wanted to have a big family. I don't know if I could handle it, but children are such a blessing. If you're not a parent, you don't know this yet. You think marriage is just the blessing. But children builds up even higher than that. You love your little kids. They bring blessing into your life. And when you think of God, God is love. God doesn't have love, but God is love. Imagine a person who loved kids, but was stuck on an island by themselves. How many of you know that that would steal from their pleasure a little bit? Right? Sometimes you want to put your kids on the island, but that's a different story. But if you wanted children and you couldn't have any, you know, it would steal away from your joy. Although you can always go and adopt, you know, which is another way to do it. But God is love. So He can't help it. He has so much love to give, that He wanted to, brought Him pleasure to love you. Bible says that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Is that correct? Do you know that God has to love you as much as He loves Himself? Otherwise, He would be breaking His own commandment. And God doesn't break His own commandments. God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. God loves you as much as He loves Himself. So the reason God wanted big family, because His capacity to love is so much greater than human beings. Really, how many people can we love? Our little families? Our families are becoming smaller and smaller. And even that, we have a hard time of loving. But God is such a big God. He has such a great capacity to love. Bible says He loved the world. God wanted a big family. We were created to be that extraordinary family. And when that family was stolen from God in the Garden of Eden, when that family was attacked in the Garden of Eden, God didn't reject them completely and say, that's it, I don't want nothing to do with you. God worked out a plan to save His family. And you know what? God had to give something, the most precious thing He had, in order to save His family. That's how much He loves us. Now some of you say, well, He should have given Himself. Why did He have to give Jesus, His Son? Because for a parent, it's easier to sacrifice themselves so their child could live. So it wouldn't be the greatest sacrifice. But in order, if you're a parent today, you know that you would sacrifice yourself in a heartbeat if your child could live. Not unless you're a selfish parent and just don't want nothing to do with your kids. But most normal, loving parents would sacrifice themselves. So sacrificing yourself was not the ultimate sacrifice. Sacrificing His Son, the only begotten Son, was the ultimate sacrifice. That's how much He loved us. Listen, don't look at Jesus and think, Jesus is beloved by God, I am just over here. No, you are. If you're a part of the family, you are loved as much as Jesus is loved. God cannot love any more or any less. That's good news. That's good news for your self-confidence. That's good news for your feeling that nobody loves you. God does love you. He created you to love you. He gave His Son, the most precious thing He had in heaven, to love you. Never say, never believe the lie of the devil that God doesn't love you. Yes, He does. Do you know that today, and since the beginning of time, there has always been dark forces that has been trying to separate your family. In a Garden of Eden, God had perfect relationship with Adam and Eve. And this dark force came in and separated God and Adam and Eve. But that's not all it did. It divided Adam and Eve. There's forces out there who are trying to divide families today because God loves families. He loves families. And so there was a division also happening between Adam and Eve. Adam said, I didn't do this. It's the woman who did it. So there was where the sexism started, right in the beginning. Men saying it's the woman's fault. Women saying, well, it's his fault. Right? And as we go on, the first two brothers, what happened? Division, that the dark force that tried to separate us from our family, from God's family, has been getting and wedging inside the relationships between Cain and Abel, trying to separate them. Later, Jacob and Esau. Later, brothers of Joseph. Later, brothers of David. I mean, it's been happening for centuries. And today we're really messed up. Our modern family is really messed up. I'm not even going to go into it. But listen to this. God loves families. And your family and my family was not designed to be successful without being a part of His family. Listen to this again. Your family was not designed to be a part of His family. It's not going to be successful if your family is apart from God's family. We were created to be a part, our families to be a part of God's family. Let me continue. And there was a traumatic moment in the Powell's life. We saw that in the video. The plane crash in Brazil. And something extraordinary has happened. They started having these superpowers that they didn't have before, and they started helping other people. In our lives, in our history, also something extraordinary has happened. Jesus died and resurrected. And at resurrection, what's extraordinary has happened, that the gate that separated humanity from God was wide open. And what Jesus did, what he did was he brought peace between heaven and earth. The door today is wide open. All you have to do is come in. At the resurrection of Jesus, a new family was born. Do you know the word ecclesia is translated in our Bibles as a church? But really, it's not correctly translated. You know what ecclesia means? It means gathering, community, or family. And Jesus said this, I will build my family, and the gates of hell will never be able to tear it apart. So if your family, if my family is a part of His family, no gates of hell, no death will ever be able to separate us. Listen, there is a power that was not able to hold Jesus in the grave. The same power will resurrect us. I was talking to a man, and he was telling me for a long time that he is a certain religion. I'm not going to mention the religion. And he was always telling me, and when people tell you that, when you ask him what church you go to, and they say, I'm a Catholic, that means they don't go. Or usually they would say, well, I go to, you know, Our Saviors, or I go this and that, you know. But when they say, they name their denomination, just want you to know that usually they don't go anywhere, okay, most cases. And I've been telling this man and inviting him, you know, and he was always telling me, I'm a Catholic. I'm this. And I'm like, okay, you don't go anywhere. And suddenly, finally, there was a door opened into his heart. And I said, listen, God loves you. And he's like, well, I don't believe in God. And all this time, for 3 years that I know him, he's been telling me that he belongs to a denomination. And now he tells me I don't believe in God. I'm like, okay, now we're talking. Finally, okay, there is the moment. And I said, okay, let's say there is no God. And he loves his family, like most of us love our family. And so I said, and God just gave me the right words to say. I said, do you love your family? He's like, oh yeah, I enjoy my family. Oh, we spend so much time together. And I say, okay, so there's no heaven or hell. When you die, what happens to you? He's like, you disappear. And I'm like, how sad would it be? You love your family and you'll never see them again. You love your children, you love your grandchildren, and you'll never see them again if there's no afterlife. This man started having tears in his eyes. And I just kept pushing. And I just kept pushing. And I said, listen, there has to be heaven or hell. This life does not end here. Otherwise, how sad. If you died, your family will never see you again and you never see them again. I have a grandpa who died and I love them so much. And if there's no resurrection, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that means there's no resurrection. Then I'll never see my loved ones, my grandparents again. And when I die, my children will never see me again. That's a sad ending. Really, if you think about it, who do you love? Just imagine somebody you really love and you can never see them again. That's really sad. But the good news that Jesus brought is this, that death could not hold him down. And whoever believes in him, death will not have ending power over their lives either. Amen. If you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, some people say, well, I don't have time to go to church on Sunday. I have to spend time with my family. Let me break the news to you. Your family here on earth is only a temporary gift of God. It's temporary. Families, at best, will end at life, you know, at this life. At worst, there's divorce, there's sicknesses, there's separation because of distances. You know, we're becoming a global economy, so people are living on all continents right now. We're separated. Family on earth is temporary. But let me tell you, there's another family that if you bring your family in, will make your family eternal. You know, sometimes I feel guilty because I don't have time to spend with my kids enough, you know? And if you're a parent, you probably felt guilty. Because really, we have problems on earth. We have jobs. We have issues. We struggle with things. We want to rest. We want to watch TV or, you know, just disconnect. So on this earth, we don't have sufficient time to spend with our families. Wouldn't you agree? But there is, if you become a part of Jesus' family, you will spend time with your family for eternity. Some of you have people in your life who are not believers. They're not a part of family of God. You need to do whatever you can to make sure they become a family of God. Because you didn't spend time with them here, because you were busy and they were busy, and you won't spend time with them there. This is a serious issue. But the good news is this, that God gave His Son so He can get back a family. That's you and that's me. And listen, I love being a part of God's family. Because I know that the people I love here on earth, and maybe I don't have so much time to spend with, I will spend the rest of eternity with. That's what this is all about. That's why Jesus died. So we can be a part of a family. Now there's many privileges of being a part of a family. I'm not even going to go into them. There's blessings. There's gifts. Like this Powell family, an ordinary family we just saw. They started having special abilities. Well, Holy Spirit gives us power to live and be a part of His family and to do His work here on earth. New Life Church, on Friday, you did something extraordinary. You went out and gave out gas to 600 people, 600 families probably. That's doing God's work. There's so many organizations in this world, churches, that are doing so much good for this world, for the people, serving, ministering. Why are they doing it? Because there is power that they receive. Jesus said, you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. You will do things for the kingdom. But it won't end here. It will last for eternity. And so the call of God today is, become a part of my family. And church is God's family. Now church is not this building. It's the family. It's the community that's here. It's you guys. And maybe you've walked away from God. You know how sometimes the relationship is broken? Have you ever had people in your life who were really close to you and then your relationship was broken with them? I had a friend, let me tell you a quick story. I had a friend who I bailed out, $2,400 some from jail. And he skipped town. Okay, went to another town. And a year later, I was in that town. And actually, it was when Tanya and I were dating. And I was in that town. And somebody broke in into his house when I was in that town. Now, I don't think anybody broke in. He said his door was a little open when he came home. And so he told everybody that because he owns me money, I came to collect. You know, my book, you know. I came to collect, you know. I didn't even know where he lived. I was trying to get my money, but I knew I never got it. Listen, I won't bail you out. Don't call me. So, and the church won't bail you out either. Anyway, let me continue. And so he spread this news around my friends and he said, yeah, he robbed me. He tried to get some money from me. And I think he said he stole 50 cents because that's all he had on his counter or, you know, something. Like, come on, 50 cents? Really? And I got so bitter at him. And later he apologized. He said, probably no, you didn't do it. It was just I forgot to close the door. Maybe my roommate forgot to close the door, blah, blah, blah. You didn't know where I live. And he started making, and I just wouldn't pick up his phone. His relationship was broken. It was apart. And I said, I don't want nothing to do with you. Keep the money. I don't care. Keep the money. Don't ever call me. And I got so bitter that he would call me for a year. He would come to town. And one time we got together with my wife and he got married and with his wife. And it was a few years later. We got together and I'm sitting and I can't be myself. Before we used to joke around. We used to be friends. You know, we used to have fun together when we got together. He was kind of a free spirit guy. He was all about fun and got into a lot of trouble. And I just couldn't be around him. I just didn't want to be with him. I was so hurt. And one day I was preaching at my youth group. This was just in the beginning of my preaching. I had an awesome sermon. You know, some sermons are just like over here. Some of them are over here, some over here, but some like over here. And I was preaching, and I was driving home, and I'm happy. And I hear God speak to me in my heart through the verse. It says, although I speak with a tongue of men and angels, but if I don't love, I'm nothing. And my enthusiasm went from over here to over here. And God says, call him. I don't want to call him. Can we just make it all good now? I don't want to call him. This is 2-3 years later already, you know. And it's hard. So what I'm saying is, and I did call him and we made it good. We're not the best of friends, but we're not enemies, and we're okay with each other now. You know, when I'm in his presence, I'm okay. My heart is okay. But the thing is, maybe you walked away from God. And now how do you build a relationship back up? Maybe when you were a young person, you had a great relationship with him, but then life happens and you walked away from him. And you know what? It was awkward for me to speak with my friend, call him and say, hey, listen, I was bitter against you. I was mad at you. You know, you did something wrong, and I read a book, How to Solve Conflicts, you know how I am. Before I do anything, I read about it, and then I try to find an easier way, and then it's still the same way, you know, Bible way, just, and I'm sorry for rejecting you. Sorry for not answering your phone calls. I'm sorry for doing that. And I was a Christian. Young Christian, but a Christian. There's a story like that in the Bible. You remember Peter, who was number one disciple of Jesus? When Jesus was being crucified, Peter did this. He said, I do not know this God. He started cursing. He started swearing. He said, I swear I didn't know this man. 3 times he rejected him. And maybe that's you. Maybe you feel like I knew Jesus. I've been with him. But then I rejected him at the end. When he needed me the most. Maybe it was cancer of your loved ones. Maybe your grandma died. Maybe your girlfriend broke your heart. I don't know what happened. But you said, God, I don't want anything to do with you. Or maybe you just slowly stopped caring and just busyness of life kind of got you away from God. And now how do you come back to him? How do you come back to him? And that's how Peter was feeling, because Jesus, when he resurrected, he said, Peter, come, I want to talk to you. See, maybe you feel awkward, but Jesus is the one who's taking first step towards you. Maybe you feel like, God, I don't deserve your forgiveness anymore. I just can't accept that after all I've done, God just forgive me like this. And maybe you feel awkward right now. But what God does, what Jesus does, after he resurrected, he says, make sure Peter is in the room with you when I come. The guy who rejects him gets the personal invitation after resurrection. 3 days ago, he rejected Jesus, swore that he didn't know him. And now Jesus is saying, Peter, listen. And he talks to him while they're having fish on the Sea of Galilee. He says, Peter, do you love me more than they do? And Peter says, yes, you know that I love you. Jesus, I don't think Peter got it. Jesus looks at him again and says, do you love me more than they do? Peter's like, duh, I love you. I'm sorry too. Jesus does it again. He says, do you love me more than they do? And Peter's like, I'm the least of them. How can you say that I love you more than they do? What do you mean? They didn't do what I did. And Jesus does something crazy to the guy who rejects him 3 days ago. He says, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Sheep means family. So Jesus doesn't only restore a man. He doesn't say you go to the bottom of the barrel, you know, start over. He says you go at the top, you start feeding my family. So listen, doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Doesn't matter what you've done last night. Doesn't matter what you've done maybe years ago. The call of Jesus today, his love is directly going into your heart and saying, do you love me, Peter? Mary, John, do you love me? Then feed my family. Preach to my family. Take care of my family. Become a part of my family. Lead my family. Because Jesus is all about, God is all about a big family. Eternal family. This is big. And so today, I want to make a call. An invitation of you to God's family. That's why God has brought you today. He wants you to be a part of his family. Would you please stand to your feet? The good news, Jesus resurrected. The gate of separation between God and man, heaven and earth, is not there anymore. The gate is wide open. God wants you back. He created you for a relationship with him, and now he's calling you back and saying, come, become a part of my family. It's not a regular family. It's an extraordinary family. I will give you power to live out this resurrection life. In order for you to be in this earth, you had to be born into this earth. You were born not just into humankind. You were born in a particular family. Well, today, God wants you to be born again into his family. And the good news is the gates are open. God loves you. He knows you by name. He's standing right next to you right now at this moment.